And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning. A busy Thursday morning in the Nashville area out there. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Do you have a traffic report for us?
Yeah, it's quite intense out there in certain spots. If you're going by Donaldson Pike, I would be prepared to be delayed for a minute. I don't know what they got going on by the airport, but there's a delay.
Is it possible that, because I have had some airport days, you know, in the last year where it's like, oh, so we just need to double the airport again to handle it? Is it just like one of those things, maybe?
Could be. I don't know. I just know that the police have the road blocked off by Donaldson Pike by the airport. And I'm like, huh.
That's
a problem.
That's something beyond that, yeah.
I don't know what's going on over there. But
so there you go, folks.
It caught me off guard. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, Izzo.
I came strolling in here. Izzo was really mad at me for being late.
Yeah, like Izzo was really excited. He was in San Fran for the Warriors game last night, so he only was here for a couple hours of the pre-show meeting. But yeah, he was kind of upset at you for your lateness.
Really?
You don't want to mess with him.
Really upset. Michelle Knezvik, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Good to have Rex Road back in the saddle today.
It is.
Good to be back.
5 hours of radio talking. I think I got home yesterday. I was like, no talking.
We're done talking. So is that 10 in the last 2 days for you?
Yeah. A lot of chatting.
Man, that is. That is a lot of talking.
That's a lot of talking going on out there.
Yeah, out of takes?
Yeah, out of takes.
Yep, just done.
It took me a minute to process that. I was like, wait, what? Yeah.
I mean, look, Jared, that wouldn't be enough for him. Nah, I got more sports to talk about. Goes home.
Aaron Brewer is 271. 271.
Yeah, you know, just keep the takes coming. Wind up doll.
Kind of is. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Coming up at 6:30, we're going to replay a Barry Trotz conversation from yesterday. Some very interesting comments on the Barry Trotz front and some very interesting kind of conversations that I've had in the aftermath of the Barry Trotz conversation from yesterday on the show. So we'll get to that at 6:30, get Joe's thoughts on that at 6:45, and take your thoughts as well. So there's some interesting comments specifically on the future of John Hines yesterday. Charles Robinson normally joins us on Thursdays from 8 to 8:30. It's going to be 7 to 7:30 today. Charles doing some traveling, so looking forward to Charles Robinson coming up from 7 to 7:30 today on the program. And as always, we'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So one of the many things that we discussed with Paul Kuharsky yesterday from paulkuharsky.com was the Jacksonville Jaguars and exactly how good they're going to be this year. Obviously, you know, we can talk about the future of the Titans, which we've done a lot this week in terms of Will Levis and what they're building towards, and, you know, 2024, if he's the starting quarterback, what all that's going to look like, all these things. But in the meantime, there is a season they got to play. Right now, Ryan Tannehill's on the roster. Derrick Henry's on the roster. They got a pretty good-looking defense on paper. And the question is, can they compete with Jacksonville in the AFC South? And Paul Kuharsky offered his thoughts on the Jags yesterday and exactly how good they're going to be. Here's what PK had to say yesterday on the show.
You know, they've got two stud outside linebacker rushers also, if you like Trevon Walker. Yep. You know, I think they should be pretty good. First place schedule hurts them. You know, they get Buffalo, they get Kansas City, they get San Francisco. Those are three awfully tough games, the kind of games that Jags haven't had in a while. But, you know, they also should beat up on the AFC South if they are what they think they are. I mean, I think the number one reason that I and that a lot of us would say the Jags aren't going to be as good as people think, and I think that bar is, you know, AFC South champions, not first or second seed in the AFC by any means, is that they're the Jaguars. And Jaguars traditionally fall on their faces even with expectations. So I think they should be pretty good. I think, you know, I wrote about expectations and all four of the, you know, books that are on the apps have them winning the division at pretty unfavorable money. And I think there's good cause for that. It starts with the quarterback. I mean, they've got the superior quarterback in the division.
So that was Paul Kuharsky yesterday from paulkuharsky.com on the Jags. So it's interesting because we get a lot of thoughts on the Jags on the text line. It's clear that they're going to be the divisional favorite heading into this year. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed anywhere right now to find somebody that doesn't have Jacksonville as the favorite in the AFC South. But, as PK said, I mean, they are the Jags, so we've seen, as a franchise, them kind of go through this before. Now, I do feel like it's a little bit different now with the leadership that they have in place. They do have a number one schedule coming up this year after winning the division a year ago that can be tough if you look at it. I mean, the schedule is interesting, and we'll get a little bit more into the schedule, which comes out today. By the way, it looks like the Chiefs are opening up with the Lions, according to multiple reports. So,
Oh, goody.
Restore the roar.
That first Thursday night game of the year, Lions-Chiefs, baby.
Oh, that's actually beautiful. Let's give everybody a real eyeful of what a joke they are right away.
It's going to be right off the bat, Lions and Chiefs. But Jacksonville's got the number one schedule, but they also have Trevor Lawrence entering into year three in the league, entering into year two under Doug Peterson, and if he plays the way he played in the second half of the season last year, that's going to be a problem for a lot of people. And Calvin Ridley joining the team. So as you look at Jacksonville, Joe Rex wrote, and you look at kind of stacking the Titans up against the Jags and everything that's involved with it, what do you make of this division, and how big of a favorite is Jacksonville heading into the season in your mind?
I don't think they should be as big a favorite as they are. I mean, I'd make them the favorite. Even something PK said there, I mean, I immediately went to my QB rankings because he's like, they have the superior quarterback.
Well, a lot of people texted in about that yesterday when he said it.
And now, so I'm like, actually, I forgot. Like, did I, in these official rankings, amazing rankings, have, who do I have ahead? I do have Trevor Lawrence two spots ahead of Ryan Tannehill, okay? But, man, it's close. Just those two guys, okay? It's close. Now, there's a lot of other things about Jacksonville that are, would certainly be better than the Titans, but I don't know, man. I even feel like PK, that's a little bit of disrespect for Tannehill. You know, for what he is. The Titans were a bad play away from winning in Jacksonville in prime time in a packed stadium with Duval just all up in arms.
The pool was flowing.
The pool was over. I mean, it was milky. And Joshua Dobbs was at quarterback. And they were, like, right on the verge of beating them for the to win the division last time they played. So, I think it's closer than people think. Now, you mentioned Ridley. I think Ridley is definitely something you have to keep in mind. We forget how good the guy was before all the stuff.
You can bet on him being productive.
Thank you. Well done.
Thank
yes, you.
You
can. Over under on Ridley.
Yes.
You know, jokes this year, 117.5. I think they're better. The problem is it's also that if you really want to – I mean, they are better. They are better on paper than the Titans overall. I think they have a better roster overall. And it's just a question of, like, I mean, the Titans haven't improved their offense that much on paper. Maybe more – you know, maybe we've given them too much credit on the offensive line even. I don't know. A lot of questions. But just I do think the Vrabel factor, the defense, all that I think you're going to have two close games in those teams play. And the first play schedule is nothing to sneeze at here.
Yep.
I mean, those games are tougher, and so that means the Titans have the second play schedule, and they've been having the first play schedule. So I think it's going to be closer than people think. You know, if the Titans I think if the Titans start well, the problem is next year, I do buy into the idea of, you know, blah start, offense is bad, that at some point they consider going to Levis.
Yeah, I mean, I think that could be certainly a possibility. The quarterback part of this is interesting because, like you said, I mean, when PK said that yesterday of they've got clearly the best quarterback in the division, a lot of people texted in the text line. I was like, really? He's like, is it clear that he's the best quarterback in the division? And I would agree that it's close between Trevor Lawrence and Ryan Tannehill. I would give the edge to Lawrence, but I would agree that it's close. The one thing I'll say about that, though, is, look, if you did like a league-wide list of ascending players, I don't know exactly where Trevor Lawrence would fall on that list, but my guess is he's probably near the top based on the way that he finished last season. I mean, he's an ascending player in this league. So I don't think it's too much of a jump to say that there could be an even further jump from him this year heading into year three and year two into Doug Peterson. Whereas with Tannehill, Like, I just kind of feel like it is what it is, and the circumstances around him right now make it difficult for me to imagine that's going to get a whole lot better.
Yeah, they're terrible. I mean, that's the thing. But just one for one as a player, and I agree. I mean, even last year, it's not like that run they went on was all just like Trevor Lawrence having huge game after huge game.
Right.
You know, it was, I mean, he was bad when they're, as they fall behind, what was it, 27-0 to the Chargers?
Yeah, he threw four picks in that game.
Right. Then he made some plays.
And then he threw four touchdowns in that game.
Yeah. I mean, I agree, though. I mean, he's innocent. Stop me when you disagree with me. Mahomes, Burrow, Rodgers, Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, Deshaun Watson.
That may be where I stop you.
Okay. Dak Prescott.
Mm.
Russell Wilson. Mm. Matthew Stafford. So that's
now we're getting into.
Right. We're getting into the mids, but then I go Trevor Lawrence, Tua, and Tannehill, then Cousins.
Okay. I might put Cousins ahead of Tannehill.
Okay. That's fine. Would you put Tua ahead of Tannehill?
Yeah.
Okay. And you definitely put Trevor Lawrence ahead of Tannehill.
Yeah.
Okay, so you hate Tannehill too. All right. Well, I'm glad we got that out of the way on this first segment.
The Watson one's really interesting.
Well, it is.
I've seen him do it before, and I know how good he once was. I don't know how good he now is.
I agree. No, I mean, that's the hardest one. It's like right now I have him right after Herbert and ahead of Dak Prescott. But that's where the gap is. It's like there's Herbert, and then it's like you could put – Stafford, you could put Trevor Lawrence. But, I mean, then you get into all the mids. That's what it is. It's all the mid. And I put Watson at the top of the mids right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. He might be bad now.
He could be terrible. I have no idea.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's really interesting. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. How big a favorite should Jacksonville be in the AFC South? How close is the gap between the Jags and the Titans? Take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We're live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, throwing the question out there, how good are the Jags going to be this year, and what does the gap look like between the Titans and the Jags in your mind? 615-737-1025. Gunner on the text line says, if the Titans didn't have a complete breakdown after firing J-Rob, this wouldn't even be a conversation. Tannehill would be above Lawrence. Got a lot of people saying that you can't count on Calvin Ridley being productive either because he hadn't played in a couple years.
Yeah, that one I gotta push back on. I think that's a little bit of fantasy there. And I went back to Zach and I asked him, like, how many examples are there of players in their prime missing a full season that isn't for injury? I mean, if you miss a full season for injury, it's obviously a huge injury, right?
Right.
So then you come back the next year, and a lot of times that it's like the year after is where you get all the way back. But we were trying to think during the break of NFL players who missed a full season. Now, Michael Vick would be an example, you know, with you know, the criminal charges with the dog fighting and all that stuff. I think he missed two seasons, but and that's also a quarterback. Right. I just look, as long as Ridley wasn't on my diet in the year away, I think he's going to come out and be just fine. The guy can play. He's in his prime. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be good this year. I'm not saying he's going to be an All-Pro, but it's not injury related. So I think that's just different than what you're talking about.
Well, the only example that I guess is close would be Antonio Brown in 2019 played one game for New England, and then he was done after that, and he came back in 2020, and then that's when he went on the run with Tampa and won the Super Bowl. But Antonio Brown in 2019 played in one game, and that was it, and then he came back the next year.
And that's also, by the way, a little past his prime.
Right.
But
he was 31 when he played the one game, came back at age 32.
And comes back and is, like, killing people.
Right.
And that's Antonio Brown. He's, you know, him at his best, better than Ridley at his best. But there's kind of a that's a good argument against it. I mean, if you can play, you can play.
Well, and Ridley's also 28,
right,
coming into this year.
Ridley's good. I mean,
the concern with Ridley is the same that it was prior to all the gambling stuff, and it's can he stay healthy? Like, really, the last year in Atlanta, he missed, like, I guess, five games? So, like, the health of Ridley, it, even when he was playing in some of those games, it was always, well, he's got something nagging him, and he's questionable heading into this week. That's going to continue to be the question with him is, can he stay healthy? But when he's on the field, the dude's been pretty productive.
Okay, Zach comes back with examples. Deshaun Watson, well, that is true. I mean, and
there is that.
There is the Deshaun Watson situation. I mean, Deshaun Watson, though, more than a year, more than a season of football.
Almost two.
That he missed, right. And he's also his own case. Le'Veon Bell, bet on himself, got paid. I think he's a good example of like.
What if an all-timer that one is.
Yeah, if you got a good thing going, you know, don't overinflate what you are to that good thing. Plaxico Burress, so I mean, that's a reference to the shooting himself in the club thing.
I think so.
That was definitely past his prime. Definitely past his prime. And then Dante Stallworth. And, you know, in these situations, I mean, that was a criminal and tragic situation. I think that was also later in his career, if I'm not mistaken. I'll check on that. I mean, at least Zach provided some examples.
Yeah, he said Josh Gordon too, which I'm like,
well,
which time?
Yeah, right. I mean, he's missing this chunk of games, that chunk of games. You know, like I just
hey, those are good examples. Zach.
No, those are. I mean, those are examples, different situations. I think you know, and although Ridley's situation is him in trouble? I also feel like it's – and I get it, okay? Although it's just the hypocrisy of the NFL is just so, like, in flashing lights when you think about this stuff.
It is.
Yeah, like, it's different than some of those situations, you know? And I think, like, a situation like Watson, I question whether just everything that's gone on, whether, like, he can even have the same, like, confidence and everything because, you know, it's – and. You know, the Ridley thing, I think most people, I think he can shrug it off and just play. But
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it certainly, I don't think, should be exciting to Titans fans that Calvin Ridley is down there with the Jags right now. Now, does that mean that they're automatically going 13-4 next year? No, it does not mean that. But I do like Doug Peterson and what he did in year one down there in Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence, I think it's pretty clear. Like, Trevor Lawrence's rookie year was pretty much a gigantic waste of time with Urban Meyer in the helm. And, you know, they went through all that, and Doug Peterson came in the second half of last year. He looked really good. You know, PK brought up an interesting point of, like, the edge rushers that they have now. You know, Arden Key's now here with the Titans, and he was a part of what they did last year on that side. But Trayvon Walker, the one overall pick down there in Jacksonville, like, it's going to be really interesting to see what that defense looks like this year, too, because – that to me is still an area where that team could take another step. Everybody talks about Lawrence and Calvin Ridley and the weapons they have offensively, and Evan Ingram's down there too. And we saw what he did against the Titans last year. But defensively, you know, can Trayvon Walker kind of take that next step in his second year and become an absolute force out there? That would not be good news for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, they do have a new offensive line.
They do,
so they have a better chance in theory of. Blocking.
Let's get your thoughts on that, because we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Like, Mike Herndon put it out there on Twitter a couple of days ago, and the thread essentially was, like, are we really sure that the Titans' offensive line is better? Just given the fact that Ben Jones is no longer there. You know, obviously, Lawan's not there, but Lawan pretty much wasn't there last year either. But you've got a guy in Dillard that didn't play last year all that much in Philadelphia. You know, Brunskill couldn't start in San Francisco. You got Petit Frere that was, needs to get better at right tackle. Aaron Brewer, who is taking over for Ben Jones at center, and then presumably a rookie coming in at left guard. Like, are we sure that the Titans' offensive line is better or significantly better?
Better, I would feel good about. Better. Now, how much, I don't know. But it's all fair points. You got two guys who haven't been able to start. The spin on that is, and it may be reality, but the spin on it is just – they were behind just really good players on loaded rosters for contenders, and this is an example of, you know, being able to find low-cost talent that just needs its opportunity, and it's going to show that it's starting quality. You know, Petit Frere, I think he was fine as a rookie. Had some bad moments, some good moments. Yeah, he's got to take a step. Brewer, How much of a downgrade is he from Ben Jones at center? He's a downgrade. I was thinking, you know, Ben Jones banged up a lot in the last few years, so it's not like, you know, Ben Jones' incredible effort to get out there and rally on a Sunday with those knees and play. But, like, what level of player is that? Leader, all that, highest level. Tough guy, highest level. Player, you know, I don't think that it has to be some huge drop off. And yeah, everybody's just like, well, Skoronski better be great. You better just go right to the Pro Bowl, rookie. Good luck to you. So, I mean, look, you take Dennis Daly off your offensive line, you're better right now. Okay? I don't think Brewer, all jokes aside, you know, he just, his size, he should only be considered a starter at center in this league and not anything else. So, yeah, I do think it'll be better. If you figure all those outcomes, like Nate Davis, I think Nate Davis was, he just, last couple of years, you know, wasn't the same guy. Could Brunskill be as good or better than him? It's possible.
Right.
Basically, I think, like, they're not all going to work out. Best case scenario, they're not all going to work out. Worst case scenario, right? So if three of the five things can work out in their favor, that to me, I think actually would be in the range of significantly better, because it was so bad last year. So bad.
Let me ask you this. Which offensive lineman do you feel the most confident in? And is it Peter Skoronski heading into his rookie year?
Maybe.
At number 11 overall.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have no clue. Yeah. On Dillard and Brunskill.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably, you know, I'd tell you what, I think Aaron Brewer is going to be fine. So as far as confident in not being a disaster, because I've seen him play, I think he's going to be fine. I mean, he has actually played a lot of good football for them, despite what some people say. But, yeah, I guess I'd go with the rookie.
Peter, welcome to the team, buddy.
Hey.
You're the best offensive lineman.
Yeah, you know, they
and we're number 77.
Yeah, Conklin came in all pro right away, rookie. Just do that again.
No big deal.
That's all you got to do.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, you'll hear a conversation that we had with Predators general manager-to-be Barry Trotz. Lots of interesting different things in this conversation, including his thoughts on the status of John Hines, as the Predators are now just about a month removed from the end of the season from last year. Very interesting comments on that front. We'll hear that. We'll get Joe's thoughts on that coming up as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. We caught up with Nashville Predators general manager-to-be Barry Trotz yesterday, and he had some very interesting comments, including some interesting comments on the status of head coach John Hines. Here was that conversation yesterday with Preds general manager-to-be Barry Trotz. And welcome in, Barry Trotz. Barry, good morning. How you doing?
Morning, Barry.
Good morning. Good morning.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Barry, we were just talking about the draft. The lottery takes place the other night. You guys land at number 15 overall, and you have another first-round pick with wherever Edmonton finishes. So what's the process been like for you all preparing for the draft and everything that goes along with that to this point?
Well, it's been a really good process, actually. We just started with reevaluating our own draft, where our prospects are, where they are in terms of their development, and look at some of the holes that we may see in the future, maybe in the next, three or four years, in terms of holes that we may be able to address during this draft. So we started with that process, and then the scouts have been really diligent at putting together a master list of the and order of the this coming draft. So no matter what, I think we're going to get a really good player.
Barry, we're going to have Luke Evangelista coming up a little bit later in the show, and obviously a really exciting series last week for Milwaukee as they take down Manitoba and move on to take on the Texas Stars. What's just kind of been your interest level in terms of the young guys that finished the season with you all that have now gone back down there with Milwaukee, and how important do you think a long run in the AHL playoffs could be for them as they continue to try to kind of form together as that next core for your group?
I think it's going to be really important. I talked about it in my own press conference when I'm looking for serial winners in our organization. It starts in the minor league. It starts in junior. It starts with that. I've learned over my time as a coach that you get players, especially young players who've gone on those long runs, win the Calder Cup in the American Hockey League, a lot of those players are able to take the next step at the National Hockey League level, and then hopefully, that core continues to roll on and hopefully, eventually win a Stanley Cup. But it is a huge development tool, if you will, those long runs in the Hockey League, because you're under a lot of pressure, just like you are in the National Hockey League. Players grow. Those little plays, those little moments are so crucial for them to understand so they can have success at the next level.
Barry Trotz with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Barry, you talked about, the status of John Hines at the end of the season press conference, and now he's under contract, but some evaluation still needs to take place. Where are you at in terms of the evaluation of John Hines, and is there any news on what his status looks like for next year?
No, I said at the press conference, I'm going to evaluate. I think John did a terrific job, as I said, when I came on. We sort of moved four players at the trade deadline. He lost eight players to injury, and he continued to, forge on with the group. And what I like about what John did is he just coached the group that he had. And I know John and his staff are good coaches. I sat in their meetings. I listened to them. I understand what they're doing. So with John, I just said, from my perspective, everybody is going to be evaluated. And also, I'm going to evaluate other organizations too. So if I can improve in any aspect of our organization, be it coaching or development, I'm going to try to do that. But I can tell you the staff is a really good staff. They know what they're doing, and I have a lot of trust in them.
Barry Trotz joins us right now. Barry, when you look at a guy like Cody Glass, who had to take on a bigger role this year, especially after the trade deadline and different players getting injured, what is something you're looking to see from him in this offseason to hopefully, be a guy who can play a top center position for you someday?
Well, I think with Cody, if you know his history, he's had a number of setbacks as a young player. He had a major knee injury during COVID, and was sort of, here you are, an 18, 19-year-old man. You're in a different country during COVID. You can't go see your family. The ability to get the training that you needed, especially with the injury that he did have, was very minimal. So I think he's a little bit behind in terms of his natural growth curve. But he's catching up very quickly. And what you see with him last year, you see, number one, he started getting his confidence back. Number two, he started to believe in himself and started playing against, I'll say, more regular top-line guys out of necessity. And he fared well. He's over at the World Championships representing Canada. And they had an exhibition game last night. And he got a hat trick. So all those little moments, I can go back to the game in Calgary when we were, he was in a shootout. He was the last guy in the shootout, if you will, season on the line, and he came through. So all those little moments for him are building his confidence. And as he builds his body as a young man, turning into a mature young man, I think you're going to see some real good things from Cody.
Barry Trotz is with us right now. Barry, obviously this is your, first time being in that manager kind of standpoint as you begin your transition into general manager. But, of course, you've coached in this league for so many years. How is this time of the year, May, we're gearing up for the NHL draft that's actually going to be in our backyard here in Nashville. How is this time of year just different from you? You've been a coach in May, kind of the offseason, getting ready for the draft. But how is it different from, transitioning into that manager standpoint?
Well, I think as a coach, you just manage the players and you're married to the schedule. And so you have a certain rhythm. I think as a general manager, you're married to the situation. The situation right now is I'm sitting in the meetings with our scouts all day listening to the different players that they may be looking to draft. As a coach, you don't really do that. You usually come in on the back end when they've already got their list made. You sort of know what your group is going to take in terms of players, because they have them grouped. They have an idea of six, seven players are going to be in that area where they draft. So you sort of come in on the back end. I'm coming in on the front end, watching the whole process, listening to the whole process. So it's just a little different, but at the same time, it's very informative. And I don't think I have enough hours in a day to cover everything some days.
Barry Trotz is with us here on Robbie and Rexroad. Barry, the playoffs have been really entertaining to this point, and as you know, as a coach, the game is evolving all the time. When you watch the playoffs now and you look at some of the teams that are having success and trying to visualize what that looks like for your group as you build your team moving forward, how do you think the game has evolved over the course of the past couple of years, and what's most important in your mind now to have success once playoff time rolls around?
Well, I think, the game has gone to obviously a lot more speed and skill. It's a lot younger, and so you see the goals going up. That is twofold, I think. And number one is the players are so skilled now, they can make some tremendous plays, and more players are scoring threats. Two, I think, the players are younger, and because they have such great skill, they trust their skill, but they don't understand sometimes the risk-reward yet, as of maybe a more mature player would. And so there's a few more turnovers, a few more, you're not being patient and just, grinding through the next minute, waiting for your opportunity. I think teams are trying to force things. I watch teams now. There's a lot of blowouts, and I just think what's happening is, from a standpoint, is when a team gets behind, they even get more risky, and all of a sudden it just blows up in their face real quick, because you see goals come, three goals really quickly as teams try to get it back. If they're down two goals, they're trying to get those two goals back in the next, 2 minutes, rather than, hey, let's just get one, in the next five, six, seven, 8 minutes, then we'll get the next one and sort of inch your way, pull yourself back in. They go from being in a game to out of the game very quickly. So that's just patience. That it might be some maturity. That's a puck decision. So that's the price sometimes you pay with young players that are highly skilled.
So that was Predators general manager Barry Trotz on with us yesterday here on the show. He said a lot there, but one thing in particular about the status of John Hines I thought was very, very interesting. And we'll get to that coming in the next. Get Joe Rexroad's thoughts on that as well. Take yours at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Will Barry Trotz and the Predators be moving on from John Hines as head coach? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game. With us here on Robbie and Rexroad. So Barry, you talked about the status of John Hines at the end of the season press conference, and now he's under contract, but some evaluation still needs to take place. Where are you at in terms of the evaluation of John Hines, and is there any news on what his status looks like for next year?
No, I exactly where I what I said at the press conference. I'm going to evaluate. I think John did a terrific job, as I said. When I came on, we sort of moved four players at the trade deadline. He lost eight players to injury, and he continued to, forge on with the group. And what I like about what John did is he just coached the group that he had. And I know John and his staff are good coaches. I sat in their meetings. I listened to them. I understand what they're doing. So with John, I just said, from my perspective, everybody is going to be evaluated, and also I'm going to evaluate other organizations too. So if I can improve in any aspect of our organization, be it coaching or development, I'm going to try to do that. But I can tell you the staff is a really good staff. They know what they're doing, and I have a lot of trust in them.
So that was Barry Trotz yesterday on the show discussing the status of John Hines. And Joe, there's several different interesting things about that answer. Number one, it's May the 11th as of this morning, and the Predators have been, you know, not playing hockey for almost a month at this point. We're just about a month away removed from the end-of-season press conference that Barry Trotz, David Poile, John Hines all took part in, which I think was like April 17th, somewhere in that neighborhood, 16th or 17th. So it's May the 11th. We're just about a month away removed from that. And the answer from Barry Trotz yesterday was basically the same in terms of he's still evaluating John Hines and would not say that John Hines will be back as head coach next year. There are really kind of several different interesting parts about that answer, but we talked about it a little bit yesterday on the show. I want to get your thoughts on it. What did you make of what Trotz had to say about the status of John Hines there?
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, I mean, even the need for the question is interesting because, like you said, you've had all this time. I mean, what would be evaluated right now? What would be? Now, I suppose the answer back would be like, well, there's a lot of data to go through. I don't know. Film to watch? You can go back and watch him on the bench from back in, like, November.
Let's think. Like, they're not playing right now. So what are we?
Right.
You know, I get that there's an evaluation process when you factor in the hole that has to take place after the season. And as Trotz has talked about multiple times, it basically kind of felt like two different seasons from this team. But, like, the evaluation part of it to me is kind of over at this point. Like, it's... it's interesting to me that it's a month later and he's still not willing to say John Hines is coming back next year as head coach.
Right. Hate to jump to conclusions and be, you know, that guy who's like, oh, so he's just waiting for, you know, his replacement or something like that. But I got to say, like, if you're John Hines and this is the only information you have, unless you're John Hines and you have information, well, look, you know, we're going to, you know, we're, you're fine. We're going to announce something that went at the appropriate time. How would you take this? Like, if you're just kind of in the dark on this, how could you feel good right now about your job?
Well, it's also like if you really want him, right? Like, you want John Hines and you feel like he did a great job and you want him to be your coach. Like, at this point, wouldn't you kind of say that if you're in the Predators?
Yeah, and even the again, it's I try to hesitate on taking words because someone's on the spot. Barry Trotz is on the spot. Good question by you. He's just trying to answer the question. He's on a flip phone somewhere in traffic. You know, like there's a lot of factors you have to take into account here. Okay, but even the fact that he said, you know, he threw in there, you know, if there's any chance for me to improve the coaching staff, the fact that he went there, in my mind, I was like, huh, it's an interesting thing to throw in there. Maybe I'm overanalyzing.
Well, he said a couple things toward the end of it that I thought were interesting. Number one, what you said in terms of, you know, if there's any way that I can improve the organization, whether that's upgrading a coach or players or whatever it is, I'm going to try to do it. And he also said towards the end of the spiel there that he's evaluating other organizations as well, is what he said. And, I mean, like you said, it's a comment that he made on a radio show. They've not made some move yet. But, like, just kind of reading into that, it's like, well, I mean, if you're waiting for somebody else that's maybe playing right now and or...
by the way, one of those possible guys kept it alive last night.
It's just interesting to me that he put those two comments in there. Like, I was talking with, you know, some people yesterday that I trust that were like, you know, at some point, like, the spin that you have to put on it if you're bringing him back gets pretty interesting for the Predators because we're a month removed from the season. And, like, if you wanted him, why wouldn't you just come out there and, like, say, yeah, he's back. He's got a year left on his contract. We want him. And, you know, Caroline Willie and D-Mace have Elliot Friedman on every week, and he's talked about before, like, general managers around the league, like, by and large, really don't like having coaches come into a year with just a year left on their deal. They like it to either be extended or to just go ahead and move on from it a year early. I don't know what Trotz's opinion on that is. He's a first-time general manager, so I have no idea. But it's just a very – when you factor in all of the information, like I've always been since the press conference with Poyle, Trotz, and Hines. And we talked about it that day. Oh, all three of them were doing the press conference together. Like, if you would have told me that day, I would have said it's 95, 99% that John Hines is back. And I don't know right now. Like, there's enough information, or I guess not enough information out there in terms of John Hines coming back, that makes me wonder, like, if it was as simple as, hey, we think John Hines did a really good job. He's got 1 year left on his deal. Let's see what he can do next year. Like, why would you just have not said that at this point if you're the Predators?
I'm 49-51 after that interview. Hines back. I don't remember what the number was before, but seriously.
Yeah?
I'm 49-51. Now, it's very close to 50-50 because, but even if he is back, this is a very just lukewarm endorsement of him for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because I don't – now, look, I'll say that, and then, like, in 3 days, a press release, John Hines, 4-year extension.
Right.
You idiots. That, you know, what were you guys talking about? But, man, it really feels – and, again, it's typical. It's normal for a new GM to come in and, you know, have his coach.
Right.
It's just a question of – if it ends up being Spencer Carberry, the target all along, man, props to Vingan, first of all, too. Ty says, quote, if my guy becomes available or wants a job, Hines is gone. If not, Hines is back, end quote. I mean, it could be that simple. Look, and if you're John Hines, you may think that, too. You may wonder that, too. You don't like it, but you know what? He has said it himself. It's hard to get a head coach job in this league. It's hard to stay in this league. So if I'm John Hines and I get one more shot at it, another season with this team, or you could look at next year too and say, well, if it's bad by Thanksgiving, then that might be it. But hey, if you're John Hines, you get any more opportunity to do this job, you will take it. Because there's recycling of coaches, like Gerard Gallant is going to be recycled again, because of course he will be.
Peter Laviolette, I'm sure at some point, probably,
right,
will be hired again.
Like, there's coaches who like achieve a certain amount and then they get recycled around the league, but Hines isn't that yet. You know, he hasn't achieved anything. I still think he hasn't had teams that he should have, like, he hasn't had like a cup contender that he ran into the ground, but he hasn't had that opportunity. So he's not necessarily going to be recycled when he gets fired in this league.
Right.
So to him, it's like whatever you can take at this point, you get. And yes, April in Portland, we're aware that you want John Hines fired. Thank you.
Got to text her.
At least she's consistent.
It would be glorious, Joe. Well done, April.
I got a text her that says, I think Barry Trotz is just waiting until he's officially the guy to make big decisions like that. I do not buy into that.
I don't know about that one.
Barry Trotz.
He's the guy.
Let's not make any mistake about it. Barry Trotz is making decisions right now. Like, it's... David Poyle is still the general manager, and officially Barry Trotz takes over on July 1st. But Barry Trotz is making decisions right now. I mean, they're preparing for the draft. I'm not saying that Poyle's not still part of it, because he is. But if Barry Trotz wanted to move on from John Hines, they're not telling him, well, Barry, you got to wait until July 1st to do that. I mean, that would just be dumb to do that.
Yeah, sorry, it's not your job. Now, Barry,
it's not your turn yet.
You can't go in that office yet. You go. No, Barry. Now you can do it. Yeah, he's in charge.
Right. So the question is, is it as simple as whoever he's got in mind is still either in the NHL playoffs, in the Calder Cup playoffs, as some people threw out there yesterday with Carl Taylor still coaching out there? Could be. I mean, I don't know. It's very. I thought there was a chance yesterday when I asked that question that he would say, yeah, we've done the evaluation.
Yeah, you thought you were breaking news.
Yeah. Like, we've done the evaluation, and John Hines is going to be back next year.
Right.
And when he didn't say that again, I'm like, man, I don't know if John Hines is going to be back next year. Maybe we're reading too much into it. But to me, like, if you like him and you want him to be back next year, we're a month removed from the season. Why have you not just said that yet?
I mean, going back from when Paul Skorbina stood up and asked a question, at that point I'm like 98, 99% Hines is back next year. I'm at 49 now.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a dramatic change in the way I think a lot of people feel about that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Normally joins us on Thursday mornings at 8 o'clock. He's traveling today, so a little bit of a shift in the schedule. Charles from 7 to 7:30. Looking forward to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.